Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking to begin the show with an accomplished chef who eventually took a job at an Oconomowoc senior living community. With us is Chef Mike Mars. He's Assistant Nutrition and Culinary Director at Presbyterian Homes and Services in Oconomowoc. Chef Mike has a degree in culinary arts, has worked in hotels, restaurants, and country clubs. And it's going to be fun talking with him. And as we do, I hope you'll join in. Tell us about the best meal you've eaten recently. Or maybe you have a question for Mike about how to use up that summer produce. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Chef Mike Mars, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Larry, nice to meet you. Thanks for having me. What an honor and a privilege.
Well, it's great to have you along. What inspired you to become a chef?
You know, my first job was in the beginning of high school. I took a job washing dishes at a restaurant in Kenosha where I grew up. A friend of mine was working there and got me the job, and that's kind of how I started out in this industry. Was I was washing dishes and the chef kind of promoted me within. I had good speed and work ethic and just kind of kept getting promoted within. And that's exactly how I got my start.
And then you went off to culinary school, did you not?
I did. So I worked with a lot of great cooks and chefs at my first job. It was a restaurant called Brewmasters in Kenosha, Wisconsin. They had two locations, and they had like upscale food in a casual manner. And I worked for a couple different chefs in my stint there, but one of them had went to school at a really nice school called Kendall College, and that's in Chicago, Illinois. And I went off to culinary school with my best friend to the same school in Kendall College. Yeah, my best friend, side by side.
That's pretty pretty cool. And then you're off into the restaurant culture. What's the culture like in restaurants? Take us to a kitchen of a really fine restaurant.
Sure. So it can be really fast-paced. It can be long hours. It can be very rewarding. Different places have different types of environment, but it definitely requires a lot of discipline.
Yeah, I would think so. I have a friend who's was a pastry chef and worked in at one point and worked at a kind of a high end restaurant, and it's exacting and and demanding.
It is, especially for a pastry chef as well, because those are a dime a dozen these days.
Yeah,
a lot of pastry chefs aren't attached to an individual restaurant, as you might think. Like, a lot of restaurants source out for their pastries and desserts.
Well, somehow you ended up in a senior living community.
I did.
Yeah, talk about your journey toward working at Presbyterian Homes and Services in Oconomowoc.
Sure, yeah. I'm at Towner Crest Presbyterian Homes in Oconomowoc. Before that, I was working at the Ingleside Hotel, and I worked there for 16 years. And when COVID hit, it shut down a lot of different, restaurants and hotels, and nobody really knew what to expect. It was a very uncertain world, especially for the restaurant industry. When we reopened very shorthanded, and it was very, very challenging. So my wife had actually opened the door for me on this because she works for the same company. She works for Presbyterian Homes at a site called Dixon Hollow, which is in Brookfield and Menominee Falls. And she had been working there for a few years, and she had come from a different hotel, ID, the Delafield Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very nice upscale hotel. And she had made the transition and was very happy. She had a lot, I could just see that she had a lot less stress. She had a better work-life balance. The hours were better. And when it came time for me to start looking, because COVID, like I said, just kind of really strapped us at the hotel in terms of work staff. I was blessed with the opportunity. I was really burning out at the hotel. And I told my wife, I kept promising her that I would look into something different. And that was easier said than done, because I had spent 16 years at that particular hotel, and they are still like family to me. But the situation wasn't ideal. And so I put my application out there, and my mentor, Mark, at Presbyterian Homes actually reached out to me. And I knew Mark because my wife had trained him for that property. As Towner Crest was getting ready to open, he had worked with her side by side in a training role. So Mark contacted me and told me, you know, about the unique opportunity that this would be the first property in Wisconsin to have two nutrition directors. And that was a very appealing thing, very special. And I went and talked with Mark, and I checked it out, and I really liked it. It's a very nice transition, and it's been an honor to work there for the last 2 years now. I'm just celebrating my second year.
Well, as I understand it, you're interacting with residents, the people eating your food, is kind of a favorite part of your job.
Oh, absolutely. I love that part. I really do. You know, when you're in the restaurant industry, you get regulars that come in and they request to speak with you, or you can stop out for a quick hello and then you got to run back in the kitchen. But there's a lot more balance in this setup where I can talk to them throughout the day. I can see them in the morning, afternoon, dinner. I have more time to interact with them. And I've even created a few things to make a more interacting atmosphere as well. Kind of like I built the pasta night station and like an omelet night station where people can come in to the dining room, interact with each other as well as with me, and then have fun together. The fellowship, you know?
It's
some fellowship to it.
How many people are you serving in a normal meal?
So we have three levels of care at my location. So we have a memory care unit that serves about 20, an assisted living unit that serves about 20, and then we have an independent living, which dining room, that can seat up to about 50, 60 maybe at the most. And we get those numbers when we run something special like a pasta night that they look forward to, and like an interacting one.
And are the meals, are they the kind of the same meals for each group, or do they have to be adjusted a little bit?
So we have two options every day that we create in advance, and we put out a menu in all their mailboxes. So, and then when we do something special, like a grill out or a pasta night, or if we're having like a pizza party or something, then we put out like flyers and kind of like let them know in advance to like make plans. And they kind of, they have a sign up sheet that they kind of let us know how many people are coming, if they're bringing family. It was something else I created was I brought pizzas there as kind of like a third option. Mm-hmm. So if they want to have dinner on the property and they weren't feeling the first or second option, then they had a third option.
So
I noticed a lot of pizza. I noticed a lot of pizza guys were coming in and out of the property when I first started. And I said, you know what? I can do that. I can offer pizza. So I talked to Mark and we made it happen. We said, you will run pizzas from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make free delivery.
Mike Mars, our guest today, Chef Mike Mars, Assistant Nutrition and Culinary Director at Presbyterian Homes and Services in Oconomowoc. Questions or comments for him? I hope you'll join in. I know we'll be talking about some recipes. He's brought a few recipes to share with us today, and we'll get into that. But you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Joe in Jefferson, as a matter of fact, is on the line. Let's go to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Chef. Thank you for what you're doing. And it's funny you segued right into pizza, which is perfect because I wanted to run this by you. As someone that grew up in East Coast, New Jersey in particular, pizza is everywhere by the slice, and it's becoming more of a thing. But in particular, the crust is like a soft pizza, a soft crust, like you may have heard of Ian's Pizza, which has several locations now in Milwaukee. This seems to be more of a trending thing, maybe because it's by the slice. So when you make your pizza, I'm wondering, the elderly people or older people probably don't want more bread, but I like the Sicilian New York style, which is really, Detroit has become a spinoff of that. A lot of people don't know that Detroit really just jazzed up New York's Sicilian.
Yeah.
So it's a thicker, though. It's a thicker crust, and it requires like a 70% hydration. I make it myself, and I like it, but it's got a lot of bread. It's like the opposite of here, which is the thin cracker crust, which I still can't get used to.
Right. Okay, so my pizza crust is right in between those two. And I prefer thin crust myself, but this is right in between, where it's thin but not like paper thin like a lot of the places in Wisconsin are. But it is a very popular 16-inch, and then they have their options of whatever toppings they want.
So you're kind of right in the middle. And, I mean, has it been successful for you, Chef Mike?
It has. And it's like there seems to be days that it's a little hit or miss more. Like some days I'll walk in and have 6 to 8 pizza orders for the day called in advance, and then there's days where I don't sell any. But we also do have a chef during the afternoon once a week who runs small little personal size pizzas as a lunch option. And he kind of changes it every week to fit something different. Like he might do a white sauce and then a deluxe style. And so he runs a little personal pizza once a week. And then they know that if they're having family over, it's always a good alternative. If they don't want to come to the dining room with their family members, they could just order a pizza and have it delivered right to their room.
I got it. Brought a few recipes to share with us, as a matter of fact.
I mocked up a few yesterday for you.
We'll talk with Chef Mike Myers about that, but just a reminder, you can join in too with your own questions or comments. Joe and Jefferson had a nice one. What about you? A question or maybe a recipe kind of that you want to share, or a type of food you want to share information about, or maybe ask a question about? Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Clara Neipert's our producer today, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Talking today with Chef Mike Myers, Assistant Nutrition and Culinary Director at Presbyterian Homes and Services in Oconomowoc. So we're talking with him about how he uses food to connect with senior living communities. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@WPR.org. We did have some emails that I wanted to get to before we talk about your recipes, Chef Mike. Gwen in Port Washington emailed us. She wonders how you modify your recipes for aging people. Do you cut out spices or, you know, make other changes?
So salt is the major one. Salt is definitely the main one that I cut down and cut out. A lot of bases are used to, like, enhance sauces and soups when you go out to eat. And we always lean towards a low sodium base or using no salt whatsoever, because it interacts with a lot of medications as well. So that's definitely the one that comes to mind the most. There are some residents that have special diets, and then we accommodate them. But honestly, I don't have too many on my property right now. I have a couple people that have like a mechanically soft diet, or maybe even a puree, but nothing else too crazy. So we just try to watch the salt that we use because of the way it affects medications and blood pressure.
Is there a way, or is there another spice or something you use to kind of make up for the lack of salt that you may have, or for the lower amount of salt that you may have?
Sure. Well, I like using Spiceology. They have a lot of great different seasonings to use to make up for that salt. There's even, I have a pizza topper that's a salt-free pizza topper that I use, and it gives a lot of flavor.
Oh, speaking of pizzas, Deb and Monona has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Larry and guests. Yeah, this is Deb and Monona, and I just had to chime in as I was listening to the show because my husband is from a Sicilian family. His grandparents immigrated from Sicily, and we've just been having just a wonderful time over the past few years trying to recreate like food memories for my husband. And so one of the things that we did just a couple weeks ago, and we had a family dinner, extended family dinner, was we have been trying to recreate many of her recipes. But the most recent thing we did was we recreated her Sicilian pizza, which is a very thick, airy kind of crust, not a lot of sauce, not a lot of toppings, anchovies. And it's fun to see how much joy I can give to my husband by recreating these recipes. It's like a food memory for him, you know?
Wow, that's great, Deb. I love your comment. Comments on that, Mike?
I love it, Deb. Keep doing it. You know, Sicilian, one of my first recipes that I really liked and enjoyed making for my wife was I used to make Sicilian pork chops, which were breaded and cooked with onions, mushrooms, giardiniera type, and then sauce. And yeah, but I've had Sicilian pizza, and it's very good as well.
Yeah. Do you find are there foods that your residents want you to create? Do you get requests from people for something along those lines?
Absolutely. All the time. So we have culinary meetings, too, with our residents on each level of care. And we like to hear what they like, what they don't like. And we try to, any requests, we try to put on the menu as soon as possible for them so that they can enjoy. It's always good to hear what we're doing right, because then we can keep doing it. And then the ones that don't work, we know to take out of the cycle, you know? You kind of learn. It's kind of hit or miss for a lot of people. It's just like anything else. You have somebody that loves a good steak, and then you have somebody that doesn't eat red meat or doesn't like steak. So the challenge is to find that quality of food that benefits them. And I stick with a lot of comfort food because that seems to work.
Well, Deb, you sound like a wonderful spouse trying to help recreate memories for your husband from Sicily. I appreciate your call for sure. Thank you so much. A listener emailed, their collard greens are coming up with a vengeance.
I believe that.
Do you have any ideas for different ways to serve collard greens?
Braise them. That is the best way to do collard greens. And I believe it because we've had a pretty hot summer this far, and they grow pretty well.
When you mean braise, now somebody's going to say, well, what does he mean by braise?
Sure. Like cabbage. And like with liquid and foil. Butter, a little, and then you can season however you like.
So it'll sort of like how you'd prepare cabbage.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. There's a lot of recipes for that, though, as well. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that have their great collard green recipes.
Okay. Judy in Kenosha will go to you next. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind, Judy?
I am wondering what Chef Mike has as his own particular personal favorite dish that he prepares for the residents.
Hmm.
My favorite dish to prepare for the residents would probably be, I love making the ribs and the brisket because they go over really well on the property, and I really enjoy the process of making them. It takes days. I trim them. We get a nice product in called Berkshire pork, and I trim them. I make my seasoning from scratch. I rub them. I let that sit for a couple days, and then I put them in pans. I use a little incorporation of like pork stock and apple juice, and I cook them at about 225 degrees for about 8 hours. And then I sauce them afterwards so that they fall off the bone, but not too off the bone. just that right touch is the key for that one. But I really enjoy making that one. And that's probably my most popular one. And it's also the most fun for me to make as well.
Well, you're making me hungry. You're making me hungry. It sounds pretty good to me, for sure.
Well, I'll come cook for you, Larry. I will. You just let me know. You just tell me. You personalize the menu, and I'll come cook for you, buddy.
Judy, thank you
so much. My wife and I love to cook.
Judy, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call, for sure. Well, let's get to your recipes a little bit. You've got a vegetable, a couscous, and a quinoa dish. And
yes,
couscous, you know, couscous has always been interesting to me because just in conversations with people, it comes out that a lot of people think it's a grain, but
right,
it's really a pasta.
Right. Yep. And it's, you know, and it's great in so many things. It's great as a side. It's great in a salad. I eat it a lot of different ways. It can be used as a stabilizer because it has protein in it as well. So it is one of my more favorite things to cook during the summers, especially.
Yeah, I would think. And well, for those who, well, if it's pasta, what's it made of? Somebody's going to say.
And I'm not actually sure if it's grain.
Not a grain.
Pretty much a grain.
I'll have to look that up because I can't remember exactly, but it really is a pasta. Well,
yeah, it's a pasta.
So kind of, and we have, by the way, we have these recipes up on ideas at WPR.org/Larry. If you go to today's date, you'll see the three recipes, and you can just copy them off, or, you know, cut and paste, or copy and paste, whatever, those recipes. But walk us through this recipe, which involves vegetables, couscous, and quinoa.
Sure. So I cook all three of them separately, basically. So the vegetables I listed are the ones that I recently used, and I like using because they're good summer vegetables, number one. And number two, they look really nice in the plate visually.
Mm-hmm.
So you cook all three separate and then add them together. It's a nice, lighter, healthier side for the summer, especially with the fish. And that's kind of why I chose those recipes.
And Clara's reminding me that couscous is made from semolina flour and just mixed with water. That's all.
That's just like pasta, yeah.
So that recipe's up on our site, and there are others too, and we'll get to those. But Karen in Kenosha has something she's wondering about. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I was wondering how it is different cooking in a residential home versus cooking in a restaurant for various customers.
Yeah.
Sure. So a restaurant has usually a repetitive menu that's done daily. So the prep work is usually pretty much the same every day, whereas in the assisted living community or the retired community, I can create different items daily. Almost kind of like having a special at a restaurant. A restaurant might have a special of the day. Well, it's kind of like I have two specials of the day every day, which is nice.
So, so you got a lot of variety. If you like to cook, it's kind of a nice job to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can be as creative with it as you like.
And I imagine this time of the year in Wisconsin is probably a pretty good time for variety, because all the produce and everything's coming in fresh. And
absolutely, it really is. It's my favorite season for produce. It's the best season for produce as well, obviously reasons. But yeah, a lot of fresh produce right now. A lot of fresh herbs, and a lot of those you can do right on your windowsill, all with the herbs: thyme, sage, basil, oregano. It makes a huge difference in your food, just using fresh ingredients that you can just grow in a little pot on your windowsill. So that's kind of what we do every winter too.
Karen, that was a good question. You know, I liked your answer. With a restaurant, you've got sort of the same menus going, every day. But in your situation, you got to come up with something different every day. You can't serve the same thing every single day to people.
Every day, and you got to keep that in mind. It's like one day chicken, then you don't want the next day to be chicken. It might have to be red meat or fish or lamb or pig. Pork. Yep.
A lot of difference every single day. Karen, thanks again. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. You can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. You know, we mentioned this, but Matt and Madison might have missed it. What are you using instead of salt to flavor food? And you did mention it, but probably worth mentioning again.
I still use salt. I just reduced the amount of salt used dramatically.
Yeah, and then what do you do?
And I use a lot of fresh herbs and alternatives for it, for whatever dish I'm creating.
Yep. So your next recipe that you have that's up online at our site is roasted fennel and apple salad, which sounded really good to me. What do people need to know about working with fennel first?
All right. So you get your big fennel bulb and you cut off the end, and then you take out the core. And I usually just quarter it. I put it in like a mixing bowl with a little olive oil, a little kosher salt and black pepper. And then I give that a toss, and I roast it off in the oven until it's fork tender. And then it's kind of another one where I just do it in stages, and it's a nice dish because it can be done in advance. If you're having like guests over, you can kind of do this in stages and have it ready, so it's not so time consuming.
Yeah, I like
roasting
that.
Roasting minimizes the strong flavor of fennel, and that's why I like to roast it off.
Well, and it really does change the character of it, doesn't it, by roasting it? By roasting,
absolutely, it's delicious too. And then I take some walnuts and I kind of do the same thing. I use a little olive oil, a little sugar, and I make candied walnuts. So I top the salad with candied walnuts, and then as far as the apples go, you have your pick of the litter, but I like using granny apples, and it can be peeled or unpeeled, but I saute those in some butter, let them cool, and then that's a great addition to the salad.
Oh, yeah, it is indeed.
It's a nice blend of sweet and savory, I guess you could say.
And finally, I have a recipe for seared salmon with apricot and chutney. And
yeah.
I always love chutney, but...
And I'm enjoying making it myself.
Yeah, so talk about what chutney is, because it's kind of a combination of jams and a garlic usually, I think, is in there often.
Yep. It can be made however you like. I like to cook my chutney throughout the day and let it reduce and really pack that flavor in. But I like using garlic, a little red onion. And for that particular recipe, I have apricots. And then you could add some apricot jam if you felt like it was lacking flavor on the apricot side. And the apricot jam also kind of helps stabilize it and thicken it.
And then maybe a little orange.
Yeah.
And then maybe a little orange juice.
A little orange juice, absolutely. And that's the good foundation for starting it. Yeah. Orange juice and letting that reduce. And then the spices are kind of up to you.
How does the chutney work with the salmon? It's an interesting combination, I think. Wonderful combination.
It's delicious, yeah. I used to do a lot of fruit relishes where that's kind of the same thing, except this is like cooked down into a sauce, like jam, like process. And I feel like it complements the salmon really well. And it's a pretty big popular item at the Towner Crest as well. I would say those nights that I have it menued that I have one of my biggest crowds.
So when you're maybe tips for searing salmon.
Sure. So if you have the biggest tip is making sure you have a hot pan. So a hot pan with some olive oil. Now, I like to keep my salmon kind of simple. So that's why I just use lemon pepper and a little salt. And then I do skin side down once the oil is hot. And a way you can tell if the oil is hot enough is you could put your hand over the sink and get a little water and kind of flick it at the pan. And if you see that bubble, then you know that it's hot enough to cook in.
And then
just like a little flick.
Yeah. And how long?
So that's going to depend on each individual as well. Like I like a nice medium rare piece. So if you have a temperature probe in your kitchen, like a lot of people do, you're looking for about 145, but I cook it skin side down and then I flip it onto a sheet pan raw with the other side. So now you have nice color on the salmon and then you can finish it in the oven. And you could even finish it later in the day if you wanted to. Just execute that one thing and get it out of the way for like your wife or your husband later. You wanted to just make it easy and you could do that one process and be done with it. And I'd like to add, like, using avocado oil is another secondary good choice because it has a high temperature range.
Veronica emailed to ask how good-tasting food can affect the quality of life for seniors. And also, she wonders what you have your thoughts on that. And also, she's read that we kind of lose our taste buds as we age, and maybe you take that into consideration when making a dish.
I haven't experienced it too much. I mean, it does happen. But for the most part, I would say that it's just, it's nice being able to watch the residents enjoy the food. It definitely adds to the highlight of my job.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to be able to, the fact that you can,
it's nice to get feedback.
Yeah, the fact that you do spend some time communicating with the residents. I'm sure that feedback is really good to hear.
Oh, absolutely. And they give me a lot of feedback, and it's great. I don't mind constructive criticism, and then I can adjust it.
What advice, here's somebody else wondering, what advice do you give to people who are just beginning to learn how to cook?
Be patient. Start easy. Mistakes are going to happen. Be creative. Have fun, most importantly. try different things. Don't be scared. It's not always going to turn out to be like a Michelin star quality, and that's okay. Because you kind of learn from it.
And one other question came up. How do you prepare tasty blended meals for, you know, there are people who have that requirement that aren't just smoothies?
Right. I treat their dinner exactly the same. I do them in stages, and I try to give them the best version of that dinner still as great, as best as I can.
Well, It sounds to me like you would have a lot of happy people at Presbyterian Homes and Services in Oconomowoc.
It's a great community. Great people, great coworkers. I'm very happy. I'm very blessed.
Yeah, and well, it's been a pleasure talking with you. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It was really a lot of fun.
And well, it was my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Chef Mike Mars, Assistant Nutrition and Culinary Director at Presbyterian Homes and Services in Oconomowoc, with degree in culinary arts, and he's worked all over hotels, restaurants, country clubs, lots of experience to bring to it.
I've seen them all.
And the three recipes that we have once again are, you can find, they look great to me. Go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry, and then just go to today's date. Today's date will pop right up, and you'll be able to copy and paste those recipes right off onto your screen. And again, Mike, thank you so much. We're going to take a look coming up. Well, if you've eaten, maybe you need to do something with your teeth.